Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Friday, May the 2nd, 2025, and this is program number 1366 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, of course, in addition to 101.1 FM on radio, you can also get us at our website. It is rcisaintlucia.com. We're streaming live there, and you can also download our previous shows in podcast form. And we are also streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And please be sure to like and share that as well with your friends and family. The number to call in and tell us what's on your plate today, it is 4523046. Again, 4523046. And you can also message in on a WhatsApp number. That number is 724-0008. Some birthday greetings for today. Going out to Lila Elwin, happy birthday to you and wishing you an absolutely wonderful birthday celebration. And also to Mr. Jonathan Satney, happy birthday to you, Jonathan. Hope you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. A look back in time, and we go to some World War II history. In 1945, the Battle of Berlin ended as the Soviet army stormed the capital, the German capital, forcing German commander of the city, General Helmut Weidling, to surrender. 1945 on this day saw more than 1 million German soldiers officially surrendering to the Western Allies in Italy and Austria. In 1949 on this day, Arthur Miller won a Pulitzer Prize for his play Death of a Salesman. 1982 on this day, Argentine cruiser called the General Belgrano was sunk by a British submarine, the HMS Conqueror, with the loss of more than 350 men aboard during the Falklands War. 2008, on this day, the cyclone Nargis made landfall in Myanmar, killing over 130,000 people and leaving millions homeless. And on this day, May the 2nd, 2011, Osama bin Laden, the suspected mastermind behind the September 11th killings, attacks on New York City, and the FBI's most wanted man was killed by U.S. Special Forces in Abbottabad, Pakistan. We now move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also glad that's way and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, Hugo Zillings, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program here at the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Now, of course, yesterday was May the 1st, International Workers' Day or Labor Day here in St. Lucia as well as around the world. And, of course, we want to extend our best wishes to the workers of St. Lucia and all those, of course, who continue to make things happen in their interests, especially the various trade unions on island. Of course, it is still a major issue in terms of workers' rights and ensuring fair compensation and fair treatment of individuals, the importance of working in safe and healthy environments has, of course, become very much important, perhaps even more so of late, even though we're dealing with a post-industrial economy, not so much industry, not so much a situation of individuals going underground in terms of mines or working in very, very dangerous types of environments. But they certainly are certain concerns regarding individuals in the workplace, even if you are in an office building. And of course, the issue of indoor air quality has been very topical for many workers over the past couple of years. So certainly there's still a lot to be looked at. And of course, a lot to be thankful of when recognizing where we were maybe 60, 70 years ago, and even more recent than that, of course, in terms of fair treatment and equal treatment as well. That is, of course, another major topical issue in terms of workers' rights and that of gender equality and ensuring that there is equal pay. So it's a major issue still to be overcome around the world. Of course, another one which we've been dealing with is the issue of, especially given the fact that we have a tourism playing such a critical role in our economy, is that of access to childcare, and of course the challenges that parents, especially potentially single mothers, face when they in fact have to stay out late to work in at a tourism establishment, and the issue of how they can in fact ensure safe environments for their children. So certainly we do have many aspects within the labor sphere to look at, and one can say yes, we've made significant progress over the years. And of course, just recently we saw the matter of the minimum wage finally taking root, and a minimum wage being realized here in St. Lucia, pretty much for the first time in a very, very, very long time, certainly long in coming, and finally being declared in the case of St. Lucia. I think the figure being roughly $1,136 per month as the minimum wage. Of course, no doubt there may be some who may be arguing out there it's still not high enough, and we also know the corollary to that is that of the business sector urging restraint in terms of wage pressures in their minds. That could potentially lead to a situation where, in fact, people end up losing jobs if businesses cannot, in fact, keep on staff. So certainly lots of challenges, and the importance of the human being within the productive sector is really what we try to celebrate when we are marking Labor Day here in St. Lucia. Now, the night before that, according to one post, 12,000 strong came out to the opening night of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. It has been happening for many, many years now, over three decades here in St. Lucia, starting back, about 32 years ago or thereabouts. And it is certainly a very, very important staple in the calendar of St. Lucia. It originally, of course, the focus being primarily about that of tourism. But we can see that it has, in fact, become more than just about bringing visitors to the island. It has effectively become part of a cultural staple. And tied, of course, yes, to tourism, but certainly the cultural aspect of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival is very, very real. And of course, a good number of years ago, the desire of bringing jazz to Marsha, it was certainly a dream of then Minister for Tourism, who is now the island's Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, of realizing this this desire to be able to bring an event of the scale and magnitude of jazz to a community, the community of Marsha and Castries East. Now, of course, since then, jazz has certainly exploded into many communities around the island, and perhaps we can talk about that in a little bit as well. But at the time, when jazz was seen to be something that was, kept to the very windy shores of Pigeon Island. It was something that was largely happening up north, and the idea of taking it away from this sort of rather secluded, perhaps even removed, perhaps even seemingly slightly elitist, type of event, to really spreading it into throughout the island. One could say certainly took hold in the whole concept of having the opening of the St. Lucia Jazz Festival, as it was then, in Marsha, was certainly a major step. And of course, there was a lot of criticism about it in those days, and the thinking that, why are we going to go into Marsha to have jazz? Of course, the Mindu Philip Park has a very interesting history, going way back in time. Originally called the Victoria Park, and it was actually the first sort of public recreation ground that St. Lucia ever had. It was created in the 1880s, around 1887 or thereabouts, in the advent of the Jubilee. I think it was the Golden Jubilee of Queen Victoria at the time, and the desire of the people. At the time, there was a proposal, we will put a monument, a new fountain or something of the sort, in what was then Columbus Square. And that was the plan of the colonial government. And the people of St. Lucia at that time said, hey, no, what we want, actually, are institutions and spaces that can support our young people. And they wanted two things in particular, a public sporting facility, which in fact became Victoria Park in Marsha. And the other one at that time was a desire for a grammar school or a secondary school for students. And that's how St. Mary's College was actually created during that same era. And so we still have both of these facilities, albeit perhaps a little different from what they were originally thought of or conceived as. And so the idea of course, it now becoming later on in memory of Mindu Philip, one of the greatest cricketers of St. Lucia at that time, and of course can still in fact be seen to be at the heart of the Castries Basin, and of course still very important for holding and seeing national level events. And certainly the crowd did not disappoint in that regard. And all indications are that on the night of the 30th, there were potentially over 12,000 people who came out to the Mindu Philip Park to enjoy and to feel the music and enjoy all that had been, that was on offer with respect to the various performers of the night. It certainly was a interesting hodgepodge of different genres of music, starting off first with country music aspect of it. In some instances, of course, country music has evolved, and I'm not sure that necessarily the taste of the average St. Lucian when it comes to country music has evolved with that as well. And so when you see some of the newer artists and the artists that are around right now, they're playing a lot more country rock. They're playing a lot of different aspects of country. And our tastes here in St. Lucia tend to be a lot more purist and more interested in the traditional country music. And perhaps it is a little bit challenging sometimes for artists to realize when they come to St. Lucia, they've got to go back in time to take in the older songs, which are still very popular hits there. And I think that was the challenge with respect to one of the lead acts, Gretchen Wilson, who, coming out of the United States, where perhaps her music has kind of moved on, it was not quite ready to deliver what the crowd may have been expecting as a more traditional form of the music. We've seen that in the past. Sometimes artists actually change, transform what they're about. I think we saw that with Lauryn Hill a couple of years back with the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, when there were certain expectations of the crowd, whereas the artists themselves were coming with new flavors that the St. Lucian audience may not necessarily have caught up with. And so, of course, certainly that aspect needs to be understood and looked at, perhaps looking into the future. But certainly there were a lot of other artists out there who did not disappoint. Sizzla in particular, of course, could perhaps have been, as many have said, could have been the show in and of itself, and he probably could have performed for 2 hours easily, but certainly gave a what is perhaps pretty close to a near perfect performance, if that could be, and really, really got a lot of great support and wonderful interest there. Of course, there were other artists there, perhaps more in terms of the more regional tastes in terms of our music, the likes of Trinidad artist Lady Lava with her performance in conjunction with local band DYP, certainly also did not disappoint the crowd. So very, very interesting mix. One could say perhaps even an eclectic mix that ensured that there was a little bit of everything for of something for everybody, and so certainly it led no doubt to a record number of individuals coming out, of course, to the challenges of the organizers, the extent of the lines were certainly quite telling, and even right up past 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, there were still people trying to get into the Mindu Philip Park for that event. And so, of course, thus far, a really good start to the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. Of course, many have been speaking of the wonderful successes of the event down at Miku at Vierge Point, and we spoke about that on the day before. Well, was it the Wednesday that we spoke about it? Yes. Regarding that event and, of course, the potential into the future for other events to be held there. And the other fringe events certainly occurred yesterday. The likes of Choiselle, the Lafargue Playing Field hosting the Choiselle fringe event there. And simultaneously in the north of the island at Bexar, the Hills and Valleys Jazz occurred. Happening there at the Bexar Playing Field. Lots again to take in today as well in terms of the ancillary fish fry being transformed into a jazz event for this evening. That too, like the Bexar event, is going to be a free event, a free show, and certainly something for a lot of people to be able to take in as well. And then, of course, lower down on the West Coast, the show will be moving on the weekend, first to VFO, I believe, on the Saturday. And that's happening at the Recreation Park near Sandy Beach, along the old military strip, entering VFO. And on Sunday, of course, Soufre Jazz, which has tended to be perhaps the largest fringe event outside of the main stage events. That is, of course, happening on Soufre at the Soufre Mini Stadium. So definitely lots and lots of events to take in, even on the weekend. Another aspect of tourism, which we didn't really get a chance to discuss regarding the product development as well, were a number of things that happened. Well, two events that happened on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, in the first instance, at the police training school up at La Talk, the passing out of 43 rangers to be able to support the efforts of safety within tourism areas. That, of course, we've had a long history of beach rangers and tourist rangers or tourism hospitality individuals, individuals who sort of can play a dual role of ensuring visitor safety while also providing guidance and, you know, good and direction and information for a visitor in many of these visitor hotspots. And that I think, is the purpose and intent of this reintroduction of the Ranger program, to have specialized officers who, in fact, can play that role, similar to how we have SPCs, Special Police Constables, but having them trained specifically to handle these tourism, these regularly utilized areas for tourists. So whether it may be on the beaches, whether it may be in places like Groseley, Groseley Town or Rodney Bay, the likes of Castries as well, and Souffre and many of these other beach spots, that's the thinking there, no doubt. And so the Royal St. Lucia Police Force adding on another 43 individuals dedicated towards this service, I think it's certainly really important in terms of, you know, the product that we actually have, and of course, an industry that we depend so heavily on, the importance of safety in that regard. Of course, the efforts in the north as well, like things like the Groseley, was it Northern Divisional Headquarters, which is taking shape in the Massad area, of course, right next to the former, for the Boys Training Center, sorry, is, of course, another step in that direction. So kudos to the police in that regard, and of course, and the government in putting forward that initiative, which I think is very timely, especially if we're going to be talking about increasing numbers, soaring visitor arrivals, having the presence of the police dedicated towards that is certainly very, very important. But in addition to that, of course, it should also mention the efforts with respect to the police of late. And we've known that we've been facing quite a difficult time in terms of crime. The issues relating to crime have been numerous and very much tied to the rising amount of guns on our streets. And that challenge, of course, is one we've been seeing the entire Caribbean really grappling with respect to how to deal with these issues. And the police have, of course, been ramping up in terms of their numbers. And that, I think, has helped in terms of how much they can project themselves and project the strength of their operations in terms of doing the traffic checks, in terms of showing strength in more places. And it seems to be doing a pretty good bit of good. And we're seeing it a little bit, some early successes thus far. And I understand that the police did have a press statement or press conference to that effect, speaking to their first quarter performance. But I will speak to the first one-third of the year thus far, because we just ended the month of April. So we've gone through 4 months. And if you were to compare last year at this time, I think the number of homicides thus far was 34. And, of course, quite recently we had a triple homicide, unfortunately, in the Bardini area. And very, very unfortunate circumstance. In one case, I think the two brothers, in fact, succumbed. And it really speaks to the really, really harrowing and really reckless actions of individuals out there and what they're doing in terms of hurting and destroying families and communities. And the police have been able to thankfully make some progress in terms of trying to abate that So I think up to inclusive of those past three homicides, I think the number has gone up for the past 4 months, first 4 months of the year to 22. So yes, about a 35% reduction thus far for the year. I would like to believe that it could even be better, and let's hope that it could end up being in a better situation. Because, of course, we've all heard it, of course. I think everybody agrees that one homicide is one homicide too many. But, of course, the challenges that we have to deal with in terms of slowing down the rate of homicides is a really difficult and challenging activity that the police have to be engaged in. And part of it means not just solving the crimes are very, very important. Right. And because it sends a message that you cannot just simply take, justice into your own hands. You will be held accountable. You cannot just be going around and dealing with your anger and your hate and dealing with people and having no respect for people's lives in this way. And so that they are repercussions to those types of illicit actions. And so it is certainly very important to be able for the police to solve the crimes, but of course it's also very important for them to be able to prevent them by way of getting more and more of these guns off our streets and out of the hands of individuals who want to be perpetrating these types of activities. So we all have our part to play in this regard. It is something that requires tenacity. It requires a certain level of continuous action and determination. And certainly we want to commend the police thus far for the actions that they have been engaging in. And let's hope that we can continue to see that continuous support in terms of trying to slow down what is occurring with respect to the criminal activities of some individuals in society. Of course, there are many other efforts that we can speak to in terms of that, but I also want to speak to the other activity within the tourism space, which occurred on Wednesday as well, and that is the reopening of a very, very, very popular tourism stop, if you like, or activity area for visitors. And that is an area known previously as the Mon Laybai. And I think for most individuals who would have had visitors coming on island and you have the desire of actually bringing them on a tour of the island, especially if you're leaving Castries, leaving the north of the island, you would tend to use that traditional route up to the up the Mon, right, to take in some of the sights of the Mon. And of course, that stop has been a very important stop for a very, very long time in respect of persons traveling into St. Lucia. And of course, that is along the Mon Road. To be actually known as Government House Road, interestingly enough. That road was built specifically to access the Government House when it was reconstructed at that location, the pavilion, as well in the 1890s. And interestingly enough, at the time it was constructed, it was actually built using prison labor from the Royal Jail. And of course, it was later on improved by the likes of civil engineer Pat Brown, improving the bends, the hairpin bends that exist on that road. Well, that one spot right there just below the Government House has been one of the spots that was even written of in the contemporary history of St. Lucia by Henry Breen back in the 1840s, describing it as one of the best views to be enjoyed on the island. And and certainly he was correct then, as I think people would agree with now, that it certainly is a spectacular view of the city of Castries and the harbor, and of course the view north into Shock Bay and Grosley Bay, now Rodney Bay, and of course beyond the channel, even the outline of Martinique. And so the reconstruction of that Mon Lay-by, now dubbed the View at the Mon, is I think certainly welcome in terms of having these scenic spots to be able to actually enjoy the wondrous, picturesque aspects of St. Lucia. And we have to appreciate that, you know, people travel because they want to be able to enjoy beauty. They want to be able to be inspired. They want to be able to have, they want to be able to enjoy nature. And it is, of course, really important that we have these types of scenic routes, and that these scenic routes are also safe and have different spots to be able to actually stop and to be able to do so. Many places don't have necessarily even hills to be able to enjoy views of this nature. You go to London, and then they will, of course, have to create, right, structures to be able to create the views, right? And so that's why, you know, you'll get Ferris wheels like the London Eye in some cities. You'll get it in London, you'll get it in Cape Town. In other places, you get these structures. In St. Louis, Missouri, you got the arch form, so you have to go up into these structures. Or in France, in Paris, you may get some points where you can get views like from Sacré-Cœur, looking out to the city. Or you may have to go up again to the Eiffel Tower. In New York, you would have to go up, maybe into the Empire State Building or some high structure to be able to enjoy the view. And in St. Lucia, we've got mountains and hills from which beautiful views can, in fact, be enjoyed of the landscape, of the seascape. And so certainly, we have to be able to enjoy that and share that, and, of course, ensure that it is part of the overall visitor experience. So viewpoints are very important. Scenic routes are very important. Of course, beyond the viewpoint itself, how that entire route is laid out, how it is designed, does it feel beautiful? Is it clean? Is it picturesque? Is there good landscaping along it, with beautiful flowers and that sort of thing, or nice hedges, whatever the case may be, to ensure that it's beauty. It has to be thought out. Sometimes we take these things for granted and we think that it happens naturally, but quite often it's not. It actually has to be planned out. You go to many places, many cities around the world, and you witness how they've used certain trees to be able to create an aura, to create an atmosphere. In Japan, they celebrate the cherry blossoms, and and the same has happened in many other cities around the world, which have taken the same trees to be able to create these wonderful blooms. In Trinidad, quite recently, people were speaking about the beauty of the pui trees around the Queen's Park Savannah. You go to Buenos Aires and Cape Town and many cities in Africa, and you have the jacaranda blooms. And so a lot of these things are actually deliberate and have to be very well planned out. And ensuring that our nature is enjoyable is certainly very, very important in that regard. We've got it in natural abundance, but at the same time, it has to be conserved and it has to be enhanced. And so we certainly do need to play our part in this regard and not take it for granted, because it is certainly something of great value that we have and which we can share. So certainly the steps of expanding that facility and also ensuring that there's more opportunity for individuals to actually make a livelihood out of it in terms of those who are providing vending support and F&B support and services there. All very, very important. And certainly, kudos to the planners and the individuals who went to put out this event and to ensure that it's not this facility, sorry, and to ensure that it's not just a daytime facility, but it's also a nighttime facility. And in fact, putting in some wonderful lighting features as part of this experience that they're trying to create. So we've gone a little bit over time already, and so we're going to end our dish of the day at this time to take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test, you fund, double cost. Customer service, A Plus, did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoline and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, you, Grozy Lakes, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Island style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style. Whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style. Oh, yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We are tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And that's all, of course, to the warm one. It's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from the east near 14 miles per hour or 22 kilometers per hour. The weather partly cloudy and hazy, occasionally becoming cloudy with a few brief showers. The forecast for the Les Antilles. Over the Leeward Islands and Northern Windward Islands, partly cloudy to cloudy and hazy with scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere, fair and hazy, becoming cloudy at times for a few scattered showers. And the weather summary, moisture and instability associated with a low-level trough and being enhanced by an upper-level jet stream will continue to cause occasional cloudiness, scattered showers, and possibly isolated thunderstorms, mainly over the northern half of the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. Light to moderate easterly winds will persist across the Eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talemba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. Yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah.
Pieces and ground. Everything you need is on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, the number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And we've got about 13 minutes to go before the hour of 2 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines at this time. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's
Good
on your plate?
Mr. George.
How are you doing, sir?
A question I would like to ask you.
Sure.
When
please.
We talk about jazz,
yes,
is it like what we have there? Is it jazz or some festival?
Well, it's a blend. I think it has always been a blend. In all honesty, I'm not sure that we've ever really had a pure jazz festival.
Because
I know
ask your father about jazz, he'll tell you Louis Armstrong and those people.
Yes,
they are jazz people.
Yes.
Bo Henson.
Yes.
He more toward jazz.
Yes.
You see? But what we have in there is a sound festival. So why they call it a jazz this and jazz that?
Well, it...
If people know about jazz, jazz is a certain people sing jazz. They dance jazz.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. And that still is the case. And in fact, some countries started off as jazz. Some countries had jazz festivals, and they've kind of now renamed them music festivals to indicate that it's a little bit broader than that.
Well, we leave it there. But yesterday you said you would have a little things about Leonard Wellington.
Yes, 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 yes.
But you didn't give enough time for it to talk about, because right now her granddaughter is here with me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, she's there. I would have put her to say hello or something.
Well, I'm not even too sure if we're going to have enough time today. Maybe by Monday. I'm going to see if we can squeeze it in because...
No, she's going Sunday.
Ah,
for the funeral.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, certainly we want to extend our condolences.
I would give you a lot of scrub because I grew up with scrub. I have my picture with him. We take out from the 50s.
Okay, wow. One of the things I didn't know was that... One of the things I never knew is that his real name is actually Victor Hubert.
Child mother.
Sorry?
My helper right now in here is Scrub's son, child mother.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's great, and glad to know that you knew him so very well. And like I was just saying, I didn't even know his real name was actually Victor Hubert.
Well, where is Kim? Call Kim for me. One minute.
Okay, we wait. We'll wait. Yes.
Okay.
Hello. Hi. Good day. You're on air right now. You're in the lunchroom at Radio Caribbean International. Welcome. And we understand that you're here you came in for the funeral of, is it your granddad?
Yeah, my granddad, Scrub.
Okay, wonderful. And did you have any memories, good memories of him?
Of course. I had, like, so many. That man, like, he was one of these people, like, where you would tell him how to spell, like, let's say if I tell him cat is spelled C-A-T.
Yes.
He would be like, no, it's K-A-T. And he'd be like, like you'll hear, you know, I guess he spells it based on the pronunciation, like.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have a lot of good memories with him. Just like maybe last year or so, I ended up taking a couple pictures with him. I went to see him.
Right.
He can draw me something and sign it.
And
he was the best man.
And did any of his family take on his musical prowess, his musical tradition?
Sorry?
Did anybody in the family take on or follow his footsteps in terms of music?
Every single person in the family.
Okay, wonderful. And what about you? Do you play a bit of pan, or you've ever, or maybe some
I
of your siblings?
I play, but I don't play as much because I live in Toronto and I'm a flight attendant, so I'm always in and out of the country.
Right.
But I do have a steel pan at home.
Right. Wonderful.
So every now and then I will just play some songs.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's great to know that the tradition lives on and the spirit lives on through you and his family. Wonderful. Thanks so very much for sharing. And have a good one.
No problem.
All right. Take care. All the best.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And, of course, that was granddaughter of Leonard Scrub Wellington. And actually, I never knew his name was Victor Hubert, interestingly enough. But you tend to find out so many things when individuals actually pass on and their lives are eulogized. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a comment on the jazz festival and the lineup.
Yes.
Just following on for what the caller said about it's a music festival as opposed to a pure jazz festival.
Right.
At times I wonder if they decided to just make it a pure jazz festival, the organizers will end up just singing the blues in terms of the financial, you know,
returns. Yes. That's an interesting thought, an interesting point that you make, caller. Thanks very much for pointing that out. I mean, it's obviously trying to create that balance. Music is ever-changing, and certainly the producers have to be mindful of that. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Oh, that's your thing. Okay, go right ahead. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Let me tell you. You made a point there about people, you know. It's interesting, you know, that you should say that certain people come for nostalgic reasons.
Right.
They play the older songs.
Right.
And they're not concerned about the new images of these artists.
Mm-hmm.
They remember them when, you know, in the past.
Right.
You understand? But I'm afraid the artist cannot be thinking like them, because in the world of music, in the world generally speaking,
right,
you have to reinvent yourself and innovate, you know,
right,
to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come doing the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, so that's interesting, because it seems that even some of the main acts, the Earth, Winds and Fires and John Legend and John Bolton, those in the past and so on, who have been the main acts, is that I feel the main thing, so, is nostalgia more than anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people come to hear these kind of things, you know, but those people, the new guys on the block, the new kids on the block do their thing during the week, you know, and maybe they don't get they pay them that kind of you know money. They pay those that you know, and that seems ironic to me, you know, that these people are too really and truly not so marketable anymore should come down here and have a bigger payday than those who more marketable out there. You understand?
Yes.
That doesn't seem contradictory to you in a way.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is that, I don't know if it's what it says about the St. Lucian market, but we are very nostalgic. We're very much stuck in a certain style, and this is what we want, right? And many of these artists, so the music scene in other places has changed, and the artists have moved along with that market, but we are in a back in time.
The old thing.
Yes.
You know, and you know, the question is, should artists just don't do the new music just because we feel that is maybe the organizers should find out from you know.
You know, I was speaking to
artists, and in fact, because who plays the piper calls the tune.
Well, that's true.
So the artists, well, you can't do the recent songs you're recently you should do.
Well, I mean, there should be a little bit of balance.
Because that's what the people come in for.
Because somebody, I was speaking to somebody last night, and he was saying, you look at a group like Kassav, which has been around for such a long time, and he was saying that, I mean, Kassav has been performing in St. Lucia since 1985, and he says that there are about 8 songs that Kassav, when they come to St. Lucia, these are the 8 songs that the St. Lucian audience expects them to play. Now, they have sometimes come and they've tried other new things, and the audience does not really catch on to that, you know.
That kind of mindset is hamstringing, you know, impeding even our very artists. Because take, for example, there is no, you know, Calypso can make a main stage, you know, to now. You understand?
Right.
And when you look at Calypso in terms of our culture, you know, musical as a musical genre, there is no other music that captivates the masses like Calypso, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it, colleagues. In modern times, Calypso has been all day on the journey.
Right.
Documenting all different kinds of issues, social issues,
yeah,
comedy, everything.
Right.
And especially political issues.
Mm-hmm.
Calypso has been there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet still, Calypso cannot feature on a main stage. You know, but I'm not blaming anybody out there. The Calypsonians have to take a big, big blame to that. Now, the Calypsonian now, anytime they have a nostalgia show, Legacy.
Right.
They'll fool the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because people come and say, what do these people chant? You know, they come and hear Malewe and, you know?
Right.
The hits from old.
Right.
You understand? So, in other words, there is a market for the veterans, those that go in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the young Calypsonian, there is no encouragement for him because he doesn't get no attention, barring during the season alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not peculiar to St. Lucia. It's happening even in...
In Trinidad as well is a problem.
Right through the island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then when I say the Calypsonians take blame, is that they accept that, all right, what's left for us is the crumbs. We'll fight among each other for the crumbs. By the crumbs, I mean Calypso Monarch. Because that's the only big payday, you know.
Right.
For
right.
Calypsonians, trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that?
No,
in Lucia.
Yes, yes.
You're aware of that?
Yeah. I mean, Colin, I think, and it's a point that is very important. I mean, clearly what we have is a music festival, right? It's far more than jazz. Jazz has a night or two, the pure jazz that is. We've now introduced, what is it, world beats, right? So we've brought in all the various genres, you know, the Afro beats and whatnot. We have a night for Caribbean, where we generally will be doing reggae soca, right? Maybe we might throw in a little Denry segment. But I don't see why we should not have a Calypso night.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That and so
exactly.
It is a very good point that you're
exactly.
making. You know,
you
to and try
so,
to bring
so,
in
but what they do now, they throw Calypsonians under the bus. Are talking about authentic Calypso, and you know, to go and script in fringe events. You might get, you know, you might hear Bo Black, Papa Vader, one, two of them singing in fringe events, you know. But then again, I also blame the Calypsonians for accepting their state, how they have them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, this is how people thinking that only our legacy they weren't interested in us for. So which means the young people have no encouragement, you know, to come in Calypso. If all you come into Calypso is to make, finals and win the monarchy, then, I mean, really,
yeah.
You know, you don't have a future if that's all you have to look forward to. But hence the reason now, Calypso should go beyond the boundaries of being just this parochial kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Where you speak to mostly local
some kind of pekong. Yeah. Eh? Some kind of social commentary.
What happened in St. Lucia?
Right, right. Yes.
No, but Calypsonians must go beyond that now and tell themselves, let us innovate this music. Let's do something new, something different.
Right.
In our choice of lyrics, you know, as well as our musical, you know, innovation.
Yeah. Because you can have social commentary that has global reach. I mean, that's what a lot of the music is doing, you know?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, people will not be, you know, you come and sing a song about, you know, politicians down here. And that won't have global appeal, trust me.
No, it's not.
You know? But there are issues that appeal to everybody that you could couch a, write a beautiful calypso about. That's not the usual arrangement style calypso, which of course it's not given to, you know, young people, you know, and that's not necessarily mean that you have to do it in soca, groovy soca or thing soca.
Mm-hmm.
You could maintain the main calypso thing, but just with innovations, you know, in the musical arrangement, you know what I'm saying? Creativity, using the language, because remember, there's so many speaking French people, speaking mm-hmm. people all mm-hmm. over the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, definitely.
Mixing up the English with the thing and our local culture and coming with some great songs which appeal. For example, so much could be done to talk about, you know, the new thing, you know, what's happening, say, in Africa with Ibrahim Touré and the new thrust
mm-hmm.
and connection
mm-hmm.
that we're witnessing, you know, happening between we out there and African and the diaspora. You know what I mean?
There
is opportunity for Calypso to go beyond what it's doing here.
Look at artificial intelligence, for example. That's a big,
absolutely.
You know, that's a big topic everywhere. Maybe I think there's a lot of opportunity, as you're rightfully saying.
I have all them ideas, but I don't know who's listening to me.
Well, I suspect you need to have a whole workshop class.
Nobody thinks
on this.
Before you check it, uh-huh. before you check it, just finish Calypso. Everybody, hundreds of people want to come and sing and tend to compete. Bam, 2 weeks time.
Mm.
Competition.
Yeah.
Nobody talking to nobody again. Everybody want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like crabs in a barrel, just for a few dollars.
Yeah.
And barring those who win, nobody are making money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And still next year, and if government they put, you know, imagine you spend all that time and investment for a prize of $40,000, where little people in sideshow. On the main stage getting that. You know what I mean? Tutti Bug, you know, this show, coming and sing other people's song, coming and sing songs that 50 years old, getting $50,000 sideshow, not even main act, you know,
well,
on the main stage.
It's for us to step up, caller. It's definitely for us to step up on this one, eh?
And they must listen to that and try and do something, but he cannot do it. Government cannot do it on their own. The Calypsonians must rise. The Calypsonians must rise and take it on.
Mm.
And we can't expect the older guys will do that. The older guys will be more seeing, looking to see, you know, they know how to win Krong again and come again and win Krong again and then to really try and bring this thing to the next level.
Mm.
I'm saying that so that we could keep the younger generation interested, because all the youth love Calypso.
Yes.
You hear in the schools, colleagues, before Carnival and thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Calypso, the youngsters singing, you know, modern soca and thing, you know. And they are allowed in the lead competition.
Right.
They don't really look at if your song is this or that or Calypso. Or that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you check them, they're more interested because they're excited by, you know, the innovation, the creation of a calypso, the creation, you know, the poetry, the you know, double tone, the metaphor, the things of speech, that inner calypso, my brother, trust me. You know.
Excellent point, scholar. Unfortunately, yeah. We're going to have to hold that point off until the next program.
I wish you could help in that struggle, but
I will see what I can do on that one. Thanks very much for that one.
We always need the media, you know.
Yes, definitely. You know what I mean? No, but excellent point. Very, very much spot on. Very, very important contribution there. And, of course, thanks very much for that. Unfortunately, we're going to have to take a pause on the conversation because we're out of time here at the lunchroom. Hope you can join us next week for another one. Next week, God willing. And stay safe. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll see you next week, hopefully.